Chapter 14, The Waters of Merah. We left the Israelites, you will remember, on the banks of the Red Sea, after they had crossed it on dry land. How happy they were! They saw their enemies, the Egyptians, dead upon the seashore, and they themselves were safely over the sea. Their long bondage and slavery had at last come to an end, and Pharaoh could do them no more harm. How they rejoiced and sang unto the Lord and said, "For he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Miriam and all the women answered them in the same words, with timbrels and dancing. What a happy scene! Now they can go forward without fear, and perhaps they thought, we shall soon be in the land flowing with milk and honey. But it was not to be so easy as all that. We must remember that the way of the children of Israel to the land of Canaan was a figure of the way the children of God have to travel to the heavenly land above. They prove that it is a narrow way through the wilderness, with many trials and dangers, for it is through much tribulation they are to enter the kingdom of glory. So the Israelites found, for we read that they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Perhaps they had brought some water with them in their skin bottles to drink with the unleavened bread. But this water would soon be all gone, and there they were in the wilderness, where there was no water. What are they to do now? Here is another great difficulty, only 3 days after their rejoicing. But wait a minute. Look, there is water on ahead of them. How gladly they hurry forward and stoop down to drink of the waters of Merah. But, oh, their disappointment! When they tasted the waters, they were so bitter that they could not drink of them. What an aggravation of their misery it seemed! Here was water within their grasp, but it proves to be too bitter to drink. That is why they were called the waters of Merah. You will remember Ruth and Naomi. When they got back to Bethlehem, the people said, "Is this Naomi?" But she replied, "Call me not Naomi, call me Merah, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." Well, these waters were bitter, and the people were bitterly disappointed, and poor Moses gets the blame again. They murmured against him and said, "What shall we drink?" So Moses did as before when at the Red Sea. He cried unto the Lord. Nor did he cry in vain, and for the Lord is able to meet every difficulty if only we would seek him. He had brought them into this sad plight in order to show once more his power to help them. Here was an opportunity for another miracle to be wrought by the great God of Israel, as we shall see. The Lord showed Moses a tree and told him to cast it into the waters, and they would be made sweet. Was not that a great miracle? Yes, the bitter waters were made sweet, and the people could drink once more to their heart's content. How glad they were made again, and were refreshed to continue their journey. But we must not overlook the deeper meaning that lies beneath this miracle. The tree seems to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we are blessed with true faith in him, this will sweeten the bitter trials and afflictions that we may meet with in this life. The tree had to be cut down before it could be cast into the waters. And how true it is that the Messiah was cut off, but not for himself, as Daniel was told. Christ must die upon the cross, that sinners might be saved, and all their bitter waters might be sweetened. You will find the account of this miracle in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, and you can read about Messiah being cut off in the book of Daniel, chapter 9.